In the first lesson from the book of Deuteronomy, Moses instructs the children of Israel, "In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it." Then, in the second lesson from the letter of St. James, the apostle urges the disciples of the Lord Jesus, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding yourselves." And in the Gospel from St. Mark, the Lord Jesus excoriates the Pharisees, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" In each case, Sacred Scripture warns us today against the danger of false religion. And here we must note a problem for modern man. If all religion is merely a private matter of personal taste, then it is impossible for any religion to be either true or false. And that is one of the many reasons why neither a Christian nor a Jew should ever consent to the assertion that all religion is merely the human search for meaning, and still less to the claim that religion is but a remnant of a pre-scientific understanding of the universe. But in addition to distinguishing true religion from false religion, we must also distinguish between two types of false religion. The first kind of false religion is the worship of false gods, while the second kind of false religion is the worship of the true God in a false way. That second kind of false religion is always a real danger for Christians, as it was for Jews before us. And the primary expression of false Christianity in our time is cultural Catholicism. The cultural Catholic exclaims, "Of course I'm a Catholic. My grandmother came from Ireland, or Italy, or Poland, or Mexico, or the Philippines, or Colombia, or Vietnam, or Lebanon. You fill in the blank for your own tribe." There is nothing wrong, of course, with having a strong attachment to the culture of one's ancestral home. In fact, that can be praiseworthy. But in the case of Christianity, if ethnic identity is the only or even the primary source of one's religion, then that religion is false. This is so because no one is born a Christian. One must be born again a Christian. We all come into the world as a child of wrath, but we come out of the baptismal font as a child of God by the grace of adoption. The sacrament of baptism, however, is not magic. Baptism, like all the sacraments of the New Covenant, is a sacrament of faith. Faith in the Word of God eternal, the Word of God incarnate, and the Word of God written. And it is belief in that word, not the place on the map from which one's ancestors came, that makes one a true disciple of Christ. The false religion of cultural Catholicism is crumbling fast before our eyes. More than 1 in 10 Americans is now a self-described ex-Catholic. And Americans with no religion now outnumber Americans who practice the Catholic faith. This is what happens when membership in the tribe, rather than faith in the Word of God, is the foundation of one's religion. Once the bonds of tribal loyalty are loosened by education, prosperity, and mobility, or even just by irony, cynicism, and relativism, then religious conviction is among the first things to be cast off in the service of forging a new identity for oneself. Long after cultural Catholics cease to believe the gospel, they may still call themselves Catholic, or say wistfully, "I was raised Catholic," and some may continue to attend Mass at Christmas and Easter. But those who do not believe and will not live according to the truth of the gospel are not authentic disciples of the Lord Jesus. And in the past few years, we have learned to our great sadness that not a few of these baptized pagans have also been ordained priests and bishops, and that at least one of them was raised to the College of Cardinals. False religion can be found anywhere, even in the highest ranks of the church, and ordination is no substitute for living faith in and personal friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the temptation to false religion is nothing new, which is why St. James had to address this problem 2,000 years ago. Put away all filth and evil excess, and humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. James continues, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. But to find religion pure and undefiled, we must first avoid the path of false religion. And the Lord Jesus explains false religion by quoting the prophet Isaiah. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me. And then he explains that the unconverted heart is the origin of all the things that defile us and a false religion. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man. But if the origin of false religion is the unconverted heart, then the remedy for this life of emptiness and rebellion is constant conversion from sin. Consider the way of life proposed to us by the Lord Jesus. We are called to live the grace of our baptism by joining the church every Sunday at Mass to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We are called to pray each day by lifting up our hearts to God in adoration, praise, petition, and contrition. We are called to read, study, and pray with Holy Scripture so that we may know the eternal plan of salvation and see it unfolding, both in the history of the world and in the story of our own lives. We are called to honor our parents and to treat all others as we wish to be treated. We are called never to lie, cheat, lust, steal, or kill, even in our hearts. We are called to honor our own bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit, and never to pollute or defile them with promiscuity, pornography, birth control, drugs, or alcohol abuse. We are called to marry only in the church and to abstain from sexual intimacy outside of marriage. We are called to serve others as we would serve Christ himself, particularly the unborn, the abandoned, the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, the elderly, the immigrant, the refugee, the homeless, the widowed, and the orphaned. We are called to confess our sins in the sacrament of penance whenever needed. And we are called to teach everyone we meet that Jesus Christ is Lord, helping them to find saving faith in the Word of God. This, my friends, is religion true and undefiled. And once we have surrendered our minds, our wills, our bodies, and our entire selves to the Word of God in the obedience of faith, then we find not servitude, but the true freedom of the children of God. We are Catholics not because we belong to the tribe of our ancestors, but because we believe the Word of God. And once we understand our need for ongoing conversion from our sins, then we can cooperate with God's grace to shape our lives according to the truth of the gospel. For the past 2 months, my bulletin columns have explained the principles of evangelical Catholicism, which help us separate true religion from false religion. The heart of true religion is the obedience of faith and continual conversion, but we cannot follow Christ until we are willing to acknowledge that our sins are sins and then repent of them. And that is why we must rely on the truth of the revealed Word of God to know with certainty what is contrary to the eternal law and love of our Creator. But most simply, if Holy Scripture teaches that something is a sin, let us not allow CNN or the New York Times to convince us otherwise. Friends, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, lest we delude ourselves and make our religion nothing but vanity. At our baptism, the Lord Jesus called us each by name to follow him in the way of the cross, and then grafted us on to his holy people Israel by making us members of his church. We must therefore heed his call to holiness by living as evangelical Catholics who bear witness to the Lord Jesus and the truth of his gospel through radical conversion, deep fidelity, joyful discipleship, and courageous evangelism. And that is religion true and undefiled, to the praise and adoration of the Lamb once slain who lives forever, the Lord Jesus Christ.